Welcome to episode 273 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our study of the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. First takeaway, the scriptures are inspired. After noting the importance of the sacred writings for wisdom for salvation in the previous verse, Paul makes one of the most important and frequently quoted statements in the entire Bible. All scripture is breathed out by God. The all scripture in this case refers to the Old Testament, since the full New Testament does not yet exist. At the time Paul writes these words, books like the Gospel of John and Revelation have not yet been written. However, this principle would still apply to all scripture given by God, including the 27 books of the New Testament. We see in 2 Peter 3 verses 15 to 16 that New Testament writers recognize scripture even as it is written. This passage in 2 Timothy is the only use in the Bible of the Greek word theonostos, which means God breathed, inspired by God, due to the inspiration of God. Still, other scriptural passages support the basic premise of scripture being inspired by God. The power of the breath of God in divine inspiration pervades scripture. God breathes the breath of life into Adam, and Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," in John 20, verse 22. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, we are told that prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Here we see the truths of Scripture described as coming directly from God, not from the will of the writers he uses to record them. God-breathed words are distinct from that which is human in origin. When you speak, your word is you breathed. Your breath, conditioned by your mind, pours forth in your speech. You breathe out your words. Paul is making the argument that the Old Testament scriptures are God's breath, God's inspired words. And this is also how the early church regards the Gospels and the Epistles. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 18, Paul uses the same word for scripture that he uses here in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to refer to quotations from both the Old and the New Testament. For scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages." In this passage, he quotes from Deuteronomy 25 verse 4 and then from Luke 10 verse 7. Similarly, the Apostle Peter includes Paul's writings in the category of scripture when he writes this in 2 Peter 3 verse 16. "There are some things in Paul's letters that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." Scripture comes from the Holy Spirit, who gives it to us according to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13 in words taught by the Spirit, expressing truths in spiritual words. In fact, the Berean believers faithfully use the inspired word of God to check Paul's adherence to the word, as according to Acts 17 verse 11, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The second takeaway, the scriptures are useful. Paul uses two pairs of words to flesh out scripture's usefulness. In the second part of this key verse, he says that scriptures are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The first pair, teaching and reproof, have to do with doctrine. We can go to school on all scripture. We can learn something valuable, something uplifting, something life-transforming, something eye-opening from everything, from the genealogies to the ceremonial laws, as much from the Psalms or the parables. That is why the whole of both testaments must be studied, not just Romans, not just the Pentateuch, not just the Gospels.
all the didactic, poetic, narrative, apocalyptic, proverbial sections, and more, taken together, make up the tapestry of our teaching. There is something of weight in every word. And what is remarkable and reflective of the fact that these words are God-breathed is you can go back to the same words again and again and find new lessons. And of course, when this is done, there will also be reproof. Those true to the scriptures cannot escape this duty. Together, the teaching and the reproof produce sound doctrine. It is for want of both that the church has often fallen into error. The second pair, correction and training in righteousness, have to do with conduct. Correction comes from the Greek word for straight, which is translated in the New Living Version as, it straightens us out. God's word is useful in a practical way. Those who accept its reproof will find their lives straightened out. Then they'll be ready for the word's positive effect of training in righteousness. The righteousness that has come to the believer by faith is actualized by the training of God's word. To sum this all up, the God-breathed word is profitable for all of life, all doctrine, all duty, all creed, all conduct, everything. The third takeaway, the scriptures equip. Paul ends this section on the sufficiency of scripture by saying in verse 17 that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Everything good that God expects us to do, the scriptures equip us to do. The scripture, day after day, reveals to us the greatness and the beauty and the power and the wisdom and the mercy of all that God is for us in Christ, so that by the power of the Spirit, we find our joy in Him and the ways of sin become distasteful, indeed ugly and repugnant. Yes, the Bible gives us many specifics as pointers on how to live, but most deeply the way the Bible equips us for every good work is by changing what we find satisfaction in so that our obedience comes from within freely, not by coercion from without. It does this when we read it and meditate on it and memorize it and meditate over it every day. The testimony of God's holy word is that it is his breath and that it is everything to believers. The book of Deuteronomy records that when Moses finishes writing the words of the law, and has given these words to the Levites to place beside the ark, and has sung his song, the song of Moses, he says, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. This set the standard for the proper regard for the scriptures of the old covenant. This is why the psalmist devotes the 176 verses of Psalm 119 to the celebration of the scripture, using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet as a structure. In effect, he says, God's word is everything from A to Z. The scriptures are life. When Jesus begins his ministry and is tempted by Satan, his knowledge of the word enables him to defeat the tempter with three deft quotations from Deuteronomy. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, leans on the sufficiency of scripture in his hour of need. Indeed, his summary response to this tempter is like a bookend to Moses' declaration that the scriptures are your life, for Jesus insists that they are the soul's essential food. It is written, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The scriptures are life to Moses and food to Jesus. They cannot and must not be anything less to us. They are the very breath of God. Father, we thank you that the scripture is profitable for instructing people to know you better, profitable for exposing sin, profitable for offering solutions to sin, profitable in learning what is true, what is wrong, how to correct wrong, and how to apply truth. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.